FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is September 27th, 2017, almost the end of the quarter. And we've been through storms this quarter. We've been through Bitcoin blasts and crashes. We've been through a lot of things. Let's try to put it in perspective where we are, where we're heading. Best person for that is always Martin Armstrong of armstrongeconomics.com. And emails, just email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. Martin, welcome back.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Always. So, hey, we've been through an interesting quarter, to say the least, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Things just come to a head. It's more of the what I've said. I've called this from starting with the U.S. elections, actually a Brit exit on, and the year from political hell. And we've just concluded right now with the German elections. And to everybody's surprise, I mean, Merkel lost about 9%, and I can't really understand why they're surprised. But and I think she was just living in her own little bubble. But and then we have the Catalonia thing it's building into a really major serious problem. I mean, for next weekend, for the first. Mm-hmm. I mean, Madrid has sent in troops to basically shut down any right to vote. I mean, Spain is showing itself as it has been before. It's just still a fascist state, and it's the old adage, the king is dead, but long live the king. Fine, you got rid of Franco, but they still maintain the same thing. And it's kind of, like Obama, when he was elected, everybody was so, enthusiastic. They thought there was going to really be change. He stood up and said, oh, these people of Guantanamo Bay, this is illegal, the NSA, unconstitutional. And then what'd you get? Even more of the same. Guantanamo Bay, they're still there. So it's just whoever is effectively in power, you bring in somebody else and they do the same thing. I mean, Greece, they elected this left-wing government, to get them out, and they just kept them in. Yeah. So it's hard to really get the political change. I mean, it requires a revolution. I mean, you can look at Trump was elected because he talks to Democrats. The Republicans are all upset. Oh, my God. But, he said he was going in and try and get through all this stuff and be a deal maker. That's what business does. OK, fine. Let's sit down. What's your problem? I mean, in politics, it's like, no, you don't talk to them because they're on the other side of the aisle. So You get what we have. Nothing ever happens.
Exactly. Hey, we've been going through this for a while. But, when you and I were growing up, and even not that long ago, that isn't what happened. That's not what used to happen in our system. That both sides used to get together when necessary. Yeah, they'd be the loyal opposition. There'd be the party in power. But then they would get together, pass whatever legislation they needed to, come to compromises, and govern. And somehow that's all been lost. And is Trump going to bring it back here, Martin? Is it going to get worse?
Basically, I've shown a chart. And when you look at, we plotted the total number of Democrats, House and Senate versus Republican. And when you do it that way, and you just forget about the politics, what you see is a clear bear market for the Democrats. Mm. They reached their peak there with FDR on the first election. And ever since, they've been making lower highs and lower lows. I mean, that's a bear market.
Yeah.
So what you're getting into is the same thing where people have criticized me and they said, they thought I was wrong, but our model has been saying this is basically the collapse of socialism. Mm-hmm. And if you just step back and be a little objective about it. The Democrats have been going down, but then you turn to Germany. The SPD, which was the, you know, the major socialist party in Germany, they came in at 20%. You know, they were the lowest ever. A socialist party's been losing everywhere because effectively all they do is ever raise taxes and the standard of living declines. And people are getting angry at that. And even the Republicans, honestly, you know, I've been in meetings with them discussing it. When Trump was elected, they actually looked at him as Ronald Reagan. Reagan was a governor from California, an outsider, not part of Washington, and they were against him too.
Oh yeah.
And they took the position that, oh well, we'll have to train him. And when Trump was elected, I was told exactly the same thing. And I said, oh, well, it's okay. We're going to train them. But you get these elites and they basically say that, oh, well, Trump wasn't elected by real Republicans because so many of these other people fled, you know, Democrats and people that were the silent majority who hadn't vote came out. So to them, it was like, well, they're not the real Republicans. They're not the people that really vote for us all the time. And they just want to ignore them. And you see the same thing happening in Europe. This Catalonia thing is just amazing. I mean, supposedly you have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. They're sending in troops to shut down and to prevent them from you know, taking control of all of the voting polls.
Yeah. Isn't that remarkable?
16,500 troops.
Yeah. I can't even believe it.
That's an invasion.
Yeah. And you know, the U.S. Is backing the status quo. I'm not quite sure why, but I guess it's obvious. You don't want more chaos, uncertainty. What's that going to do to the euro? And where's the euro's been up recently? What's in store for the euro?
It's been falling now for, you know, quite aggressively. It hit basically 120. Our maximum resistance on that was really 125, but we couldn't even get really through this 121 area. And it was, you know, we basically said from the beginning of the year, look, you know, the euro is going to go up. You're going to have, and it's going to go into the German elections. What you have to understand is that Merkel is basically the euro.
Yeah.
You take her out, what other support do you really have? She's the face of Europe. And so with her losing as badly as she did, I mean, she's still, you know, chancellor, but she gets 32%. I mean, that's less than anybody in American politics, all right? But they have these coalition governments.
Yeah.
So she gets to form a government with somebody else. And if you just listen to her, I mean, you know, okay, fine. Well, she's going to try to get back the right wing that abandoned her. Okay, you want to be socialist to get the SPD to join with you. Now you want to be right wing to get the AfD people back in. What do you actually stand for? You know, this is a problem with the European politicians. It's coalition governments, and which we don't have in the States, but then you don't stand for anything. You blow with the wind, you know, and that's basically it. So the euro is just absolutely a disaster. Macron just came out in France. Now he, you know, the German elections are over. So now you're going to see all the tax increases they want to do. He wants to put in a euro tax on everybody. He wants complete federalization of Europe. Why? Because France is broke.
Yeah.
And their pension funds are absolutely a disaster. I mean, I can't mention the company, but a very major one. We were called into, and I was asked. I said, "Okay, fine. Look, we're going to have a board meeting. We want you here tomorrow." I said, "You know, what's the subject? We'll tell you when you get here." I get there, and they appoint us advisor at their pension fund. And the majority of the board resigns. And I'm looking like, what is this? So was I invited to a Harry Carey meeting or something? And the company wanted to lay off 20% of its workforce. The government said, okay. Then at the last minute, the government said, no, we have to be socially fair. You can't pick and choose. you have to make the same offer of basically $100,000 to give up your job to everybody in the company.
Wow.
You can't pick. So what happened? Obviously, everybody that could get a job right away took the 100 grand, said thank you very much, and left. The company's left with the very people they were trying to get rid of. And the board basically resigns because the head of it, you know, I can't mention who, but the head of it told me, he said, listen, if I don't get out of here, I'll never get a job again because my name will be associated with this company.
Well, you talk about rats running from a tenement fire, huh?
Look, this is one of the biggest over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is the way government in Europe is functioning, and it's France, it's Germany. They're too socialistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start interfering with all these things like that. What do you end up with? Complete disaster.
Yeah.
The same thing happened in France. I mean, in Greece. They said, oh, no, you can't pick and choose. And, you can take fairness to a certain degree, but that's it, you know. And if somebody doesn't work, that's the person you should get rid of. And the good worker you keep, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's the way it used to be a meritocracy. Even in Europe, it was one, right? But doesn't seem to be the case any longer, huh?
No, and this is what is happening. I mean, a lot of the people that voted for Trump that have, you know, kind of like come out of the woodwork are just basically people that have been silent. They've seen their standard of living just decline, you know, and this is what's happening throughout Europe. Same thing with Brit exit. I mean, the British, you know, fish industry, the EU destroyed. They gave the fishing rights up to like effectively 10 miles off the coast to the Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
So the British weren't even allowed to fish off their own coast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you can't even make this stuff up, honestly. You just look at them and like, you know, no, why wouldn't you want to leave and get back your own territory?
Yeah, you would think. Makes sense.
So, I mean, this is what's happening. It's government has run the course. It's just completely out of control. I mean, we don't have anybody that makes any kind of rational decisions. I mean, I've worked with governments from Asia to Europe. And effectively, what I think my real job is more of a psychiatrist. I get called in to hold hands and stuff like that. But they, you know, you can tell them, and this is why I've given up. You can go in and say, listen, if you don't do this, you know, a major disaster and 10 million people will die tomorrow. And they will look at you and say, yeah, but maybe you're wrong. Basically, a government functions only by reaction. And I'll put it this way. If I was to run for president and I said to you, vote for me because I saved your job. The first thing you're going to look at, well, how do I know I would have lost it?
Yeah.
Maybe he's lying.
Yeah.
Okay. So a politician understands this. It's much better you lose your job. And then I say, vote for me. I'll get the guy that did it. So consequently, I've given up. I mean, people that think that you can actually go in the government and change things, you can't. It's impossible. And when you have people in Congress and they have to run for election every 2 years, they might spend 3 to 6 months at best actually really on the job.
Yeah.
The rest of the time is spent trying to raise money for the next election.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not take a position. Just watch what happens in Europe now. Merkel and you can and it's about tax increases. Everything went dead silent. All right. Macron, you can Google it. He just came out after the German elections. Now we're going to put in a Euro tax. Why? Because they know that nobody's going to want to vote for Merkel if they know the truth.
Of course.
So they don't talk about it. As soon as the election's over, okay, you stupid people, you voted for me. Now watch what happens. It's just a joke. Mm-hmm. But this is the way they function. They look at the people and they basically, I mean, why do we have pension funds that aren't funded and all this stuff? Because they've always looked at it that we're just like a herd of cattle or sheep. And don't worry about it. We don't have to really fund anything because there's always an endless supply of these stupid people we can just raise taxes anytime we need. And it just keeps going up and up and up. But then eventually you hit a bell curve. You hit the peak. The standard of living is declining. I mean, fine, all this stuff sounds nice, whatever, you know, women should get equal pay, et cetera. Okay, fine. Women now have to work. Most young families, it requires two people to actually work to pay the bills.
Yeah, with taxes and inflation.
It's a luxury for a woman to stay home today.
Yeah.
I mean, unless her husband is making an awful lot of money, it usually takes two people.
Very true.
And, and you're seeing this is why marriages are declining. The Census Bureau has reported the highest number of kids are still in their 30s living in their parents' houses.
Yeah, in their cellar or attic, right?
I mean, it's too expensive to go out. People aren't getting married, and the birth rate's declining dramatically. Japan, they're calling it the celibacy, and they're not even dating. It is quite dramatic. I mean, in London, they did an article where all these girls who are in their 20s are looking for guys over 40. Why? Because if you want to have a family, good luck. What are you going to do? You're going to go get a 26-year-old who's basically living in his mother's basement, still playing video games?
Yeah, that's not good marriage material for sure. So
no, it's not. So it's actually going back the way it used to be, where in the 19th century and 18th century, the guy was typically twice the age. Why? Right. Because first, there was no socialism. The guy had to go out, get the house, the farm, the chickens, or whatever, and then go to you and say, I want to marry your daughter. And you would say, what do you have? Oh, I got this, that, the other thing. It was none of this, oh, nothing. I just love her. We're going to live in a field of daisies, you know?
Yeah.
You would have laughed and slammed the door.
Yeah.
How's she going to live?
Yeah, and then
so the guy had to prove himself first.
And then he got paid, though. The guy got a dowry
actually, the dowry, as a misconception, it did not go to him. It went to her.
Ah,
and that was her pension.
Uh-huh.
So the dowry basically was hers, and the man had to basically show that he could support her. So it was all about making sure that her and the children would be sufficient in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no social programs and stuff like that.
No safety net.
So as socialism is declining, we're watching the same thing happen again. And particularly out of the country, the age differences are rising again. It's just the way it is. I mean, we're going back to the way things were. I mean, particularly behind the old Iron Curtain, they still have the attitudes. I mean, Russia collapsed, etc. And the attitude is, no, you don't trust government. Why? They never do anything for you. Everybody's self-sufficient.
Yeah.
You don't expect handouts or anything else or a pension. One of the girls that worked for us, her father went to a hospital, ended up with AIDS from a blood transfusion.
Oh, God.
And his compensation from the government was $20 a month.
Really? Oh. Terrible.
Huh. So it's, what are you going to get? But this is how socialism is kind of collapsing. It's in the West, we're finding out the same problem. And it's just, the pension funds, everybody knows there's a tremendous amount of unreported or unfunded debt going forward. But it's, I'm of the opinion, honestly, that government should be almost privatized to a sense of each department, like motor vehicles, should be privatized. Why? Because at least then, if there's going to be a pension, it's going to be funded from the private sector. They have to fund.
Right.
They don't, or otherwise they go to jail. All right. If you're a politician, well, you know, they're the ones that prosecute people, so they always exempt themselves.
Of course.
There are no mirrors in Washington.
Yeah.
Or any government.
No mirrors. That's right. Well, it's interesting. So what's going to be with the dollar and, you know, what's happening with that? Where's it heading?
Well, the dollar is going to go up over the next couple of years, and that will kind of really defeat a lot of things that Trump has been doing. But you have to understand that the people, currency's backwards from a stock. They think, oh, the dollar's going up means strong economy. No, the stronger the currency gets, the greater the trade deficit, et cetera. You can't sell as much overseas. You want the U.S. always, that's why Trump always is saying, look, it's currency wars. We want lower, our currency down. Every time the dollar has gone up, that's when you get the crisis. The dollar went up. Roosevelt had to devalue the dollar in 1934. Dollar went up again dramatically to all-time record highs in 1985. They created the G5 to send the dollar down. So the U.S. is always trying to devalue the dollar. But, it's going to go against them again. So as we have the social problem melting down in Europe, you really have no place to go. I mean, you have banks over there. If they're going to deposit money at the ECB, they're charged.
Right.
So honestly, what the big banks are doing, they send their money over here to the U.S., to their U.S. branch. And then the U.S. branch parks it at the Federal Reserve and in excess, in the excess reserves fund. Collecting 0.5% a year versus negative over there. I mean, they're doing quite well. But, this is the problem with the European banking system. I mean, the people have withdrawn money. I mean, the number one thing that people have been buying are safes.
Yeah.
So deposits have diminished tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And Draghi's whole idea of lowering, interest rates to stimulate, it has proven that, the old quantity of money theory just doesn't really work. It depends upon confidence.
Right.
We've done studies on interest rates and stock markets, et cetera, and it has never peaked with the same level of interest rates twice.
Really?
1896, it was 200%. 1929 was one of the lowest. It depends. I mean, if you think you can make, you're going to double your money, you'll pay 20% interest. If you don't think it's going to go up 5%, you won't even pay 5%. So it's really a difference of expectations that counts. And you can go to zero. That's very nice. But if people don't think they're going to make any money, they're not going to borrow. They're not going to expand. They're not going to create jobs. And what Europe has been doing is, Draghi wanted to expand the money supply to stimulate. But then you have Merkel, so afraid of inflation because of the German hyperinflation. So they've been raising taxes.
Right.
And it's if I give you $100 and then I say, okay, fine, you got to give me $90 back. Did I give you $100 or I give you
$10? Yeah.
It's the net bottom line that counts.
So we're going to
have a conflict between the politicians and the central banks.
Absolutely. So stock market, is that going to keep going up like you said all along?
Yeah, look, you have to look at it this way. I mean, you have big institutional money and they have traditionally parked it in government bonds. And you're finding a lot of them are shifting. And this is what we've been saying, that this is a time where it's going to be shifting from public to private. In fact, I just posted today, answering a question. The largest fund in the world, most people have no idea. They would think, oh, it's in the United States, Germany. It's Norway.
Really?
Norway has the biggest sovereign wealth fund in the world. It exceeded $1 trillion. What did they do? In 2013, they woke up, they shifted selling bonds and moving into equity. They made more money than any fund in the world. Mm. It's the only pension fund of any country in the world that's solvent because they did what they should have done. All these other funds that basically been buying government bonds, and so you have pension funds have been running off, buying emerging market debt, trying to get higher yield. In Austria, they just sold 100-year bonds at 2.5%.
Yeah.
100 years.
That's amazing. Who's buying these things?
It's pension funds because they're getting zero, and they're all going insolvent.
Mm-hmm.
One major pension fund here in North America finally shifted their portfolio to go private, selling government bonds about 1.5 years ago. S&P walked in and said, oh, you're taking on more risk. They said, look, here it is. Okay, this is what Armstrong had said. We did our own due diligence, and he's right. AAA corporate paper has never defaulted.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Government debt always defaults, and it's unsecured, and you get nothing. If a company went bust, all right, mm-hmm. it goes into bankruptcy, they sell the assets, you can at least get something back, all right? 50 cents on the dollar, you know, 80 cents on the dollar, whatever. But you get nothing back from a government.
That's right. Look at all the people holding Cuban bonds from 1959, waiting for the big payday. And here we are. We're 68 years
later.
You can
go on eBay. You can buy all the bonds you want from Germany, China, et cetera. They all defaulted in 1931.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have you have World War II. All right. On the government start. So what happens? All the bonds of the previous government defaulted. This is what they do. So it's a great propaganda. Oh, government debt is always secure, whatever. No, it's not. It historically, it's just the biggest, fraud, I think, on everybody. And if you look at the national debt, when we put charts on our blog, 70% of the debt at times has gotten up to a cumulative interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not even going out to help people, roads or schools or all this stuff that the politicians always talk about. It just goes out the back door to keep it going.
Yeah. That's crazy. So
that's why they don't. Mm-hmm. That's why the banks are too big to jail, because the banks say, hey, listen, we're the ones that sell your debt. You want to put us in jail, then who's going to sell your debt? That's why they don't go.
Yeah. So you still think the stock market's doubling from its present point?
Yeah. There's just no place to go with money anymore. It's stocks are in the movable category versus non-movable. Real estate would be non-movable.
Yeah.
And what's government doing? They're basically trying to shut down everything possible, from like Bitcoin to, buying gold. Look, 20 years ago, we could hop on a plane, put a suitcase full of gold and nobody, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Today, good luck. You can't move anything.
Mm-hmm.
All these people are going, oh, Bitcoin's going to, sorry. And what I've been saying is kind of starting to come to fruition. I mean, you're talking about competing with government. They are the ones with the guns in the tanks.
Yeah.
All right. They're not going to tolerate it. And the U.S. is already, passing a law here that if you're coming back into the United States and you have more than $10,000 in electronic currency, you must declare it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to declare if you got $10,000 in a bank account.
Yeah.
But if you have more than $10,000, you have to declare it. And if you don't declare what you have, they can confiscate it. So it's
How do you possess?
I mean, eventually we're going to go to an electronic currency, but it's going to be one that government controls. I'm telling you, the central banks are already looking at creating one. China's looking at creating one. But this idea that you're going to be able to use Bitcoin or something like that and escape everything, forget it. It's just not going to happen. I saw the same in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the way futures were starting out, the reason the volume was coming in was that we were using those tax straddles back then.
Right, I remember that.
You could buy December gold and sell January. So what would happen, you would take your loss in December and you'd move your profit into January. Then, so people were doing this not to pay taxes, moving it from one year to the next. The IRS let it go for a few years. Then they went and they buy Merrill Lynch, you know, I think it was just tens of millions of dollars back then. But then they went after everybody, charged of interest and penalties. And I mean, one guy, one friend of mine, I told him, don't do it. You're going to be careful. And they just took everything from him, his house, whatever you ended up thinking you were saving, you know, the government then demanded double.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, all they have to do is declare Bitcoin illegal. That's it. Money laundering.
Yeah. Well, that's how they get everything, laundering. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, money laundering was passed originally for drugs. Okay. Now the definition is, you put money in some account and didn't tell the government, that's money laundering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they keep changing the definitions of these things, and you got to be careful. But I mean, that's really what's going on. It's they're hunting money dramatically.
Yeah.
In Australia, they were actually following your children to school to see where they went. And if they went to a private school, then they went in, subpoenaed the private school. How were you paying for it? Did the money come from an overseas account? Yeah. Can you imagine government stalking your children?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I mean, but there didn't. They're all just completely desperate for cash.
Yeah.
So just watch it, you know, step back and you'll see every government is doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about the dollar maintaining its reserve currency status? Is that for the foreseeable future?
I mean, eventually that's going to crack. I mean, the U.S., I mean, I've been in meetings in Washington, and I can tell you, you know, people don't understand this. The U.S. can't suddenly stand up and say it's not the reserve currency. Neither can China, and neither denominating every piece of trade in yuan would do it.
Mm.
Why? Because, ask this question. You're sitting there, you're a major pension fund, and you got, you know, $30 billion in cash. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to park it?
There's
are you willing to buy
place.
U.S. government treasuries? For Chinese government treasuries. It's the U.S.
Yeah.
It's where money parks. That's why the euro didn't succeed, because they wouldn't consolidate the debt. It was still fragmented. So people bought the German debt, but they wouldn't buy the Greek debt. All right. So in the U.S., you have that, you know, California versus New York. I mean, every state has its own credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's going to take is the dollar going up.
Yeah.
Pushing the dollar up, you will see then some, we're going to have another like Bretton Woods or G5 type thing meeting take place. And only pushing the dollar up will cause that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the dollar is a reserve currency for a number of reasons. And one of the primary ones is that you and I can write a contract in dollars anywhere in the world. We don't need permission. In Japan, why is the yen not a major reserve currency? You and I cannot do a contract in yen in London without the permission of MOF.
Mm-hmm.
You can't issue any debt, in any bond, anything in yen without government permission.
Mm-hmm.
So the dollar has basically anybody can use it. Two, what Americans don't appreciate is that the dollar, paper dollars from 1861 are still legal tender.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only country in the world that's like that.
That's true.
Europe routinely cancels its currency. If you have even a British pound note from just 20 years ago, it's not valid.
Yep.
You can go down to what they force you to do is take it to the government.
Turn them in. Right.
Yes. And then if you get too much of it, oh, gee, where'd you get this from?
Yes.
Yes. And then it's taxes time. They do that deliberately because they're very socialistic in Europe. And it's to prevent people from hoarding money.
Right.
And the cash underground economy, and the guy puts, you know, a few hundred thousand in cash over the years, and they just suddenly cancel it, like India did. So the U.S. is the only one that you can hoard cash in. And so, you know, I think the minimum expectation is really that you have about 40% of the U.S. currency is outside the United States.
Right. Yep. Yep. Makes a lot of sense. So finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, where's gold heading?
Still not ready for prime time yet. We're getting there, but I mean, it's more of a, again, it's a confidence game. You know, you had, all right, fine. You had Korea threatened nuclear war. Gold rallied up to 362, right up to our number, and then bounced off it. If a nuclear war is not going to send it up, what is the issue? And there's a few things at this stage in the game. One is that, you know, gold isn't as freely movable as it used to be. I have a friend of mine that owned a refinery, just sold it and quit because he had to report every gram that came in to be refined and every gram where it went.
Really?
So, I mean, the reporting is just not, you know, it's much more draconian now than it ever was before. And I mean, before you could buy some Kruger Rands or whatever, take them down, sell them for cash. I mean, you just can't do that stuff anymore.
It's hard.
So, all these things, as they hunt money, it becomes difficult. So, I mean, gold will take off, but what you have to do, first, you got to take the dollar up. When you take the dollar up, that cracks the system. Mm. When the system cracks, like it did in 85 and 1934, now you undermine the confidence that government is in charge. Once that happens, all right, that's when people will then, you know, we're talking about the average person on the street, okay? And there are, you know, YouTube things on there where a guy's standing out there offering chocolate bar or a bar of silver and they take the chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people, you have to realize, you go to Starbucks and the younger crowd, they just hold up the phone. They don't even use paper money anymore.
I know. They even use the phone to twip, to tip the server. So
we are in a evolutionary cycle for the economy, and we are moving much more rapidly towards an electronic currency, and the younger generation would accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're not using even coins or paper money.
They carry no cash
honestly,
on them.
I mean,
nothing.
Your grandkid eventually grows up, and then they're going to say to you, gee, you actually drove a car? What was that like?
Yeah.
I mean, things are changing, you know, and the older generation, you know, are stuck in their ways, but, you know, things are changing quite rapidly around us. And
yeah.
So that's part of gold's problem. It the stock market is the only place to put big money. We're looking at the major institutions putting in money. The gold is more on the average person at the retail market.
Mm-hmm.
Major institutions can buy gold stocks, but they really can't buy the gold per se because they need to have some sort of an income.
Yeah.
They can buy gold and they got to put it in a warehouse and they got to pay to store it. So
right.
From an institutional standpoint, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
Gold will go up, but when it goes up, it's going to be basically kind of like the 70s where almost everything on the tangible side goes up. Mm-hmm. Even the stock market and gold rallied together at that point. And so you just have to understand what is the real driving force. And it's not the quantity of money and all this stuff that people are talking about and hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is caused by confidence, a collapse in confidence in government. That's
right.
Really what it is.
Sure.
And I mean, all the stuff that, you know, they were saying, oh, is gold's going to take off because, you know, the Fed is in. If you really just step back and forget all the nonsense that these people talk about, fine. Yeah, the Fed increase was buying like $4 trillion. Great. Then what'd the banks say? Okay, well, where are we going to put our money? You know, we need a place to put it. So then the Fed says, oh, okay, fine. Yeah, we understand. So we'll create excess reserves. So that's me giving you $100 and then saying I want 80 back.
Yeah, the sterilization.
Yeah, and then you also have this false idea of what a central bank is doing. And this is why I say that the dollar will not be the reserve currency going forward, but it's not. This is something that is really seriously being talked about, how to stop the dollar. Hmm. Because what's the Federal Reserve's problem? They wanted to raise interest rates starting in 13. Mm-hmm. All right. They had to wait to 2015. Why? Because they were being lobbied by everybody. Yeah. IMF, all the Europe, et cetera. Oh, gee, if you raise interest rates, you'll hurt us. So honestly, from behind the curtain, what's going on is the Federal Reserve feels that it has been made, turned into the default central bank of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose domestic policy objective to international. Mm-hmm. So they can no longer manage an economy as people think, oh, the central bank's there to raise lower rates to help stimulate the domestic economy. No, it doesn't even work that way anymore. So Fed, you know, I was the one had yelling and screaming at them. They finally began to change. And because of these ideas are so fixed, I said, okay, fine. Very nice. You're buying 30-year bonds in, and that's to help the real estate market. You're assuming an American's going to sell you the 30-year bonds. Hello.
Yeah.
Germany, you know, and, you know, China in particular sold you everything they had. They lowered their maturity to 5 years or less and said, thank you very much.
All right. And Martin,
in Europe.
Yeah, we got to wrap up now. So we find you over at armstrongeconomics.com.
Well, it's been nice speaking to you. Good luck.
All right. Hey, and
it's going to be very interesting next year forward.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, armstrongeconomics.com is where we find you, and email us at kl@carrylutz.com. Martin, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for inviting me. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.